It's always good to know, isn't it, that there are folks at the Washington Post and other major publications that they maintain a cooler head in this political environment. You know, they don't say crazy things. They don't go off into the weeds. They don't go off in a tangent. You know, not when it comes to talking about President Trump. They've maintained a very, you know, balanced approach to covering. Okay, I can't even go there. Okay, maybe they haven't maintained a balanced approach. Not the Washington Post, not the New York Times, not USA Today, not CNN or NBC or ABC or any of them. The media coverage of this president has been unlike any president. Now, is he different? Yes, he is. Is he confrontational? Yes, he is. Does he antagonize them and call them names and sometimes act like a schoolyard tussle? Yes, it does. But you would think that the professional media, and I'm not sure what that means anymore. I see people like Brian Stelter on the air, and you look at that guy and you go, how is this guy even on the air? But I digress. Let's look at the Washington Post. This is supposed to be one of the nation's premier newspapers, correct? So you would think that the people that work for that paper in the opinion side would be just as professional. That would be the assumption you would make. And you would think that cooler heads are prevailing. Jennifer Rubin is one of those folks. And appearing here on television just yesterday, I guess it was, she says she has a plan to pull America together. She has a solution to pull America together. I mean, it's a very simple plan. I want you to hear it. It's bite number six. Jennifer Rubin, go.
It's not only that Trump has to lose, but that all his enablers have to lose. They have to. We have to collectively, in essence, burn down the Republican Party. We have to level them, because if there are survivors, if there are people who weathered this storm, they will do it again. They will take this as confirmation that, hey, it just pays to ride the waves. Look at me. I've made it through. And so up and down the ticket, federal, state, local offices, the country has to repudiate this. It is not a normal administration. And when these people say, oh, you can't criticize us, it will deter public service. It will deter people who are liars, right, who are enablers, who are really bad people, and they should be deterred.
Yeah.
They don't get to escape accountability. That's all of our job, to hold them accountable for the rest of their lives.
For the rest of their lives, we must burn down the Republican Party. Liars, enablers. Apparently all Republicans are liars, enablers. We must burn down the Republican Party. This is Jennifer Rubin of the Washington Post, where she sits on high in the ivory tower to cast aspersions upon all of us peasants down here. And she knows what's right and what's wrong. And how dare you enable this president? And these people must be held accountable for the rest of their lives. Now, that conversation came out in part from discussing when Sarah Huckabee Sanders and others were accosted in restaurants. That's perfectly fine, she says. Is it really? Is this your plan to bring America together, Jen? To burn down the Republican Party? To attack anybody you don't agree with? To attack them as not just racist anymore, but as white supremacists? Because that's the new term. Racist. And calling somebody a racist about the worst thing you can do. And that wasn't strong enough for those on the left. They had to go to white supremacy now, which we should all find deeply offensive, because, first of all, it's inaccurate. And second of all, it dilutes that for those that truly are in that section, in that subsection of America. They should be held in contempt. But to label everyone across the board as such is ludicrous and offensive to me, I'll tell you that. Johnson & Johnson, now shifting gears, Johnson & Johnson ordered by a judge in Oklahoma yesterday to pay just over $572 million for its role in the opioid crisis. And Johnson & Johnson, of course, led to the addled brains and the deaths of more than 6,000 over two decades in that state, so said the judge in his ruling. He said Johnson & Johnson had become a public nuisance and had led to these deaths through its advertising campaigns. Misleading marketing and promotion of opioids created a nuisance in the state, so said Cleveland County District Judge Thad Balkman. Thad Balkman, he said, it's misleading marketing and promotion of opioids that create a nuisance in the state. And he said he's ready to immediately remediate the nuisance with $572 million plus. Now, here's my question. My question is this. How do you go after a company, Johnson & Johnson, like this, They're selling a legal product. They're selling a product that has been approved by the Food and Drug Administration and then prescribed by doctors. This is a dangerous place to be with the nuisance law. In fact, the attorney for J&J, John Sparks, says the judge had completely misinterpreted the public nuisance law. We'll see if this stands. Of course, Johnson & Johnson will appeal, and this will go on for quite a bit longer. But Oklahoma, comparatively speaking, is a small state. And so, therefore, if other courts look at this as any sort of a precedent, Johnson & Johnson could be financially destroyed as a result of all of this. And again, for those that are taking the medications, it's prescribed by a doctor, re-prescribed by a doctor, refills are sent and taken care of, and it's a legal product. That's my concern about all of this. It's a legal product. Where do we go from here? Obviously, the opioid epidemic is a problem. 75,000 people, give or take, died in 2018 from opioids. The number will be similar, possibly higher again this year. So 500,000 people over the last number of years dying from opioid addiction and overdose. It's clearly a problem, but where do you lay the blame? Do you make the drugs tougher to get? Do people that actually have chronic pain issues suffer because they can't get the drugs they actually need because others are abusing the drugs that they are provided? All of these questions are out there. We do know that the markets were flooded in many places with far more of the drugs than would ever be needed by the population. So a lot of questions to be answered. But for today, Johnson & Johnson looking at their alternatives after being handed a bill for $572 million. $572 million. 25 after the 27th of August. It's the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.